visitors amongst us. We appreciate your presence this morning. We pray that our time together will be an encouragement to you as you are to us. We worship and praise our God this morning. This morning we're going to talk about a quality of God that sometimes is hard to understand. From his goodness to his severity to everything in between. Today I'd like to discuss one of these qualities that I believe many people misunderstand. They get the wrong impression of God and thus have a total misunderstanding of who God really is. They base these beliefs on this wrong concept of God, and it affects their whole way of thinking about God. Today I'd like to delve into this, the scriptures, and look back at this idea of God being a jealous God. Many people look at this quality of God and look at it as nothing more than God is just a big egomaniac. He's got this big ego he has to fulfill, and so he demands everybody bow down and worship him. The only reason God created man, they think, is so he could have people to love him and feed this ego. He created mankind and commanded them to love and to serve him, and if they don't, he'll punish them. This is not the picture that is revealed of God in the Bible at all. Today I'd like to examine the scriptures and see what they have to say about this important quality of God. To get the true concept of God, when it says that God is a jealous God, what does he mean? We look at jealousy. It's defined as a feeling of ill will, ranging over to anger, either based on a perceived advantage or desire for an exclusive relationship. In other words, when someone is jealous of someone else, it's because they have something we want. We perceive in our minds that they are somewhat better than us because they have something that we don't. We're jealous over someone because this relationship they perceive or imagine that they have with another particular person is a relationship that we want. We feel we deserve. And we don't like the particular person or thing because they could pay more attention to that person than to me, and we become jealous. We see this all the time in sibling relationships within the family. Mom and Dad always love you more than me. You ever hear that from your brother or sister? You always got the new stuff. I always got the hand-me-downs. Mom and Dad always buys you things, but they never buy me anything. And you see the jealousy and the envy within the family. Bad feelings between brothers and sisters. There may be a perfect explanation as to why your parents behaved the way they did, but in our minds, it's because Mom and Dad just loved you more than me. We see this in the workplace as well. He or she got the promotion instead of me because the boss loved you more than he loves me, likes me. There's animosity now between coworkers, ill feelings, and it may not be true. They may be better qualified to do the job than we are, and the boss just chose the best candidate for the job. It doesn't have anything to do with whether he likes me better than you. But we perceive he just likes them better, and we become jealous and envious of that individual. In the New Testament, jealousy is talked about as being something evil, something bad, something we're to avoid. Remember in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul talked about some attitudes and some things that we must avoid as children of God. In Galatians chapter 5, notice in verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, beginning verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are some things that Paul says that we must avoid doing. These are works of the flesh. These are not going to get us to heaven. And we see in verse 21, he talks about these envying or this jealousy we're talking about this morning. He says, if you do these things, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven when this life is over. And also, it's listed in Romans chapter 1, as Paul talked to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, we don't have time to read all of these verses here, but as the apostle describes the ungodly and the unrighteous man, notice he says, in verse 29 of Romans chapter 1. This ungodly man, he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, and all these other bad and evil things he says here. But he mentions here in verse 29, this ungodly man, he says, is full of envy, jealousy. But we see their fate, as he mentions in verse 32, that they who do these things are worthy of death. These are evil, wicked things that we are not to be a part of. James talks about envy as well in James chapter 3 and verse 16. James chapter 3, and notice verse 16. James writes, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Where there's envy and jealousy, it says every evil work is present there as well. These are wicked things. It's a wicked attitude that we need to not be a part of. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, remember the great chapter of love. Paul talks about what does it mean to love someone? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, notice what he says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. You really love somebody, you don't, then it means you don't envy them. We will not envy in our hearts for other people. See, envy is not a good quality for a man to have. It's listed among the evil practices of man, something to avoid. So how come, though, the Bible says that God is jealous? He's a jealous God, as if it's something to be admired about him. In Exodus chapter 20, in our passage that was read this morning, when God was giving them Moses the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, it talks about God being a jealous God. Notice in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 7, he says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So, sir, God is a jealous God. At first glance at this passage, it seems like this is one of God's bad characteristics. He's jealous and envious. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, when Moses was warning the children of Israel about their idolatry, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4 what he reveals to them about God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's look at verses 23 and 24. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God which you made with you and with yourselves, a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Again, this word jealousy is something good in God. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 17 through 21, in Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua just adds some more to this. To make us even more confused about this. Joshua 24. Notice verse 17 through 21. For the Lord your God who brought you up and your fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in your sight and preserved us all in the way that we went among the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land, who also served the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, in one verse 19, he says, God is a holy God and God is a jealous God. Joshua, what are you saying? How can those two be compatible? We talk about The New Testament tells us jealousy is something bad, and we tell us God is holy and he's jealous at the same time. Now we're really confused. In Exodus chapter 34, in verse 14, the Bible says the Lord's name is jealous. So based on this definition of the scriptures that claim God is a jealous God, sometimes even angry when men worship other gods instead of him, how is this quality in God different from than it is in us? Is there a double standard here? What, this is good for God, but it's bad for you guys. How can God be a just God if that is the case? We see in scriptures that God was jealous with his people and really mad at them and tells them of all the evil that he was going to do for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verses 1 through 14, it talks about God, how God did all the good to his people, how he took care of them in the wilderness. They became the apple of his eye, so to speak. Of all the people in the world, God chose these people to be his special people. He described it as the eagle spreads its wings to protect its young and cover them. So did God to his people. We're going to talk about more about this a little bit later. When we look at verses 16 through 26, how did they repay God for all his goodness that he has done for them? We see here God's anger was turned against them. He became jealous. They moved him to jealousy. They provoked God to anger by going after these false gods of the people in the land. They said a fire kindled in his anger, and God was jealous because of it. Asaph wrote a psalm in his psalm, Psalm number 78, wrote a psalm about this. In verses 42 through 55 of Psalm 78, he talks about all the goodness that God had done to his people. Notice in verse 43, he says how he wrought his signs in Egypt and wonders in the field of Zoan. Verses 52 through 55, he says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safety so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of the sanctuary, even to this mountain, to which his right hand has purchased. He cast out the heathen before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. All the things that God did for them. And yet we find them turning from serving him. Notice in verse 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. This is how they treated God. All the good things that he did for them, brought them out of the slavery in Egypt, carried them through the wilderness for 40 years, fed them, gave them water, clothed them, kept them safe from their enemies. And this is how they repaid him, worshiping these gods, these images, instead of him. So how come this is something bad for us, but somehow good for God? I'm confused, aren't you? How do we reconcile these differences? Or is it that's just what the Bible says and we just have to accept it? I don't think so. God somehow said it's okay for him to be jealous, but not for us. That doesn't make any sense. When you look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, 1 Timothy 4. And notice verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' tales and fables. Exercise thyself rather to godliness. He says, train yourself for godliness, Timothy. Be like God. That's what he's encouraging Timothy to do. Later on in chapter 6 and verse 6. Notice what he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He says in verse 11, to flee evil and follow after godliness, Timothy. Be like God. Being like him is something that you need to aspire to reach for and pattern your lives after God in everything except jealousy. That doesn't make any sense. any sense. So how do we reconcile these two concepts, that jealousy is good for God but bad for us? What is the difference? Let's look at these things. Man's jealousy. Man gets jealous over something he wants or something he needs. And he has an evil thought attached to it. Take for our neighbor, for instance. People get envious of their neighbors and jealous over the neighbors because they got a better car than I got. Oh, they got that sports car I always wanted. Never could afford it, and they got it. Oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I had that. I hate when he goes down the road and smiles at everybody and waves in that fancy car. It just makes me sick. Or that beautiful house that my friends have. Oh, it's got all the major conveniences, the wide open spaces, the elegant kitchen, the master suite. They have it all. But I don't. It makes me so mad. She brags about it all the time. Oh, come into my beautiful kitchen. It makes me so mad, so envious, so jealous. Others are jealous over outside beauty. They're more prettier than I am. They got better hair than I have. Their figure is better than I have. And we become jealous of that individual. Man becomes jealous and envious about things that we want. Something someone else has and wish we had it. Or at least we just like it. Things maybe that we don't deserve. Or maybe we had the money to afford these things, but we blew it on something else, and now we have to sit and suffer and watch my neighbor go by and wave and smile in my car. This is why the New Testament tells us to avoid being jealous, to get envy out of our lives. Why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8, to be content with what you have. Don't be envious and jealous. James says it leads to many evils and wickedness in our lives. But you see, the difference here is God's jealousy. God isn't jealous over what somebody else has. He says he's jealous over something that he needs, that God is jealous over something that is given to another that rightfully belongs to him. He's not jealous because we have fancy sports cars or big houses and things like that. He's jealous because we've given something that that he deserves, and we gave it to somebody else. We're talking about our love. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, we see God was jealous over Israel. Why? It's because his people were playing the prostitute with other nations. God was to be their husband. They were to be his bride. And yet they took their affection, their love and their desires, their honor and their glory, and gave it to someone else other than God. God took Israel to be his wife, so to speak. When she was worthless, she was a tramp, he cleaned her up, he fixed her hair, he did her nails, he clothed her in beauty that no other woman on earth could have. And he took her to be his bride. And she goes off and sleeps with another man. That is why God is jealous. Many think that God has this big ego that just has to be fed. And they see him like that vain woman who desires to be praised and she needs all the attention. And they think God is just like this woman. He created man just so he could be praised. He is so great and wants all his creation to praise him. And that's the only reason why he created man. Nothing could be further from the truth. They think it's like a husband and wife who decide to have children just so the children would love them. That's not why parents have children. They have children so they can share their love with someone else. We understand that. But when it comes to God, people get confused. God took Israel when they were a nobody and made them into something special, something really special. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we saw how Israelites provoked God to jealousy. It was because they had forgotten how good God had been to them. And they took their love and affection and gave it to a piece of wood, to a bunch of gold that somebody manufactured, about a bug or an animal or a beast of the field. And they bowed down and worshiped it. They gave it the worship, the honor, and the glory that God deserved. And God was jealous. He wanted that love himself. They went a whoring after someone else. They gave what was rightly belonged to God to someone that didn't deserve it. To devils, to pieces of wood and gold. Gods who could do nothing like God that the God of heaven could do for them. And yet they gave them the glory and honor. And God was jealous. He should have gotten that praise and that honor. He deserved it, not these idols. And we saw in Psalm 78, verses 56 through 64, how God turned his wrath upon them. How they provoked God to send his wrath instead of blessings. God had given them so much, and yet they gave him nothing. God became jealous, not because he needed or wanted their love and affection, but because this was supposed to be his, and his alone. It belonged to him, and they gave it to someone else. God didn't know how else to show his love and affection to people other than by doing the good things that he did for them, took care of their every need, things they didn't deserve, but he gave it to them anyway. He loved them that much. And you see how horrible they treated God. He was so good to them, gave them everything they needed, and more. When it came to praise and honor him, they turned and gave it to someone else. How terrible is that? Many of us may say, we would never do that to God. We're better than they were. Really? Let's look at some things. Are we any better than they are? When it comes to our big screen TVs, how jealous is God of that? Is that? We spend more time with our big screen TV than we do in his word, and worshiping and serving him. What about sporting events that we put before God? Oh, but the Lions and Tigers are playing this afternoon. I gotta get to the game. Don't have time to worship God today. I'll miss the game. Oh, this bed feels so comfortable this morning. I just can't get out of bed. I'm going to stay here for another hour. I'll worship next week for the people with God. Or they go to parties. Wedding parties, baby showers. All these things are more important than worshiping God. And our jobs. This is something I've never understood. People put their jobs ahead of worshiping God. I worked in a factory for 32 years. There's no way that I was going to put that in front of God. Go work in that dirty, smelly place. I'd rather be here with my brethren, worshiping and praising God. I don't understand how people can do that. I'd rather put their jobs ahead of worshiping and praising God after all God has done for us. You think God is jealous of some of the things that we give honor and praise to instead of him? I believe he is. All these things mean more to some people than God does. How many times have we provoked God to jealousy and anger over something because we've placed more value on it than God than serving him? How many times do you think God wishes he could be as meaningful to us as those big screen TVs or those sporting events or those parties or our work or our families? Some have traded the golden calf, the Asherah poles, and various idols for movies and sporting events and parties and families. things that provoke God to jealousy. Provoke him to pour out his wrath upon those who give their affection and love to someone else. Affection and love that belongs to him. God truly is a God of jealousy, and rightly so. God has been so good to us as well, all the blessings, physical and spiritual, that he has given us. Yet to whom or to who or to what do we give our love and affection to? Jesus in Ephesians chapter 5, or Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, talked about the church, compared the church as the bride of Christ. Verse 24 says, wives are to submit to their husbands as Christ submits to the church. Christians submit to Christ. Verse 25, husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 32, great mysteries concerning Christ and the church. Paul shows us here. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9, we see at the end of time the marriage of Christ and his church. And I heard as it was the voice of multitudes and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and he and his wife have made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, and for the fine linen is righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, right blessed are they which called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true saints of God. The marriage of Christ and the church once for all and for all eternity. This is why adultery is so bad, so evil. They take the love and affection due their spouse and they give it to someone else. Someone who doesn't deserve it. And we can know why God was what God was feeling like when Israel went after the foreign gods of the land. In Psalm 78, and verse 58, the psalmist writes, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Can we see how important it is to get the proper understanding about God and his qualities? And his characteristics. If you believe that God was nothing more than an egomaniac, wanting to have everybody praise him and honor him as this great God because he needs to feed his ego, because he needs praise and worship from his creation. If that's what you think about God, would you sacrifice your life for him? That's what he's asking us to do. But would you do that for him? Would you do the hard things in life that he demands of a Christian for a God that only demands his love because he's got this big ego? None of that would happen. But those of us who see God as a loving God, who sees to our every need, cares for us so much, and loves us so much, a God who only wants what he deserves, to be honored and praised and thanked for what he has done. That's all he wants. Is that so difficult to do? Is that so hard to understand? Can we see the difference between God's jealousy and man's jealousy? And why man's jealousy is evil, but God is righteous and holy? I hope I've cleared some things up for you this morning. I hope when you see this, these words, if people talk to you about how God is a jealous God, and they look at that as something bad and negative, you know the difference. You'll be able to help them to see the difference. You know, God showed us how much he loved us, his creation, all of us, by sending his son to die for us. He knew we needed more than just stuff, food and clothing and shelter. We needed the forgiveness of our sins. The times when we disobeyed him, the commandments he gave to make our lives better, and yet we violated them. God loves us still. He sent us his only Son to pay the price for our sins. Whether you're a child of God or not, a Christian or not, God sent him to save you. Have you become a child of his yet? Do you believe that Jesus is his Son? That came to this world, that paid the price for our sins. He died on that cross. We just had a remembrance of that this morning. As his body, the blood was shed for us. Well, you're willing to turn from your life of sin. Turn from it and come to God in repentance. Be baptized in water and have your sins washed away. Is that asking too much for a God that loved you so much to send his Son to die for you? We're going to sing a song this morning for your encouragement. You're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning. Won't you come? Let me stand and sing.